listening to Pop the Kettle On with Nicole Essio and Dr. Rachel Bushing.
Hi, I'm Rach.
And I'm Nicole, and welcome to Pop the Kettle On.
This is the Parenting, Womanhood, Marriage, Baby, and Life Review podcast, all of the things. We have a bit of a chat, and we dissect the way that family life is depicted in popular culture.
Because it's always tea time.
And if I don't laugh, I'll cry.
Absolutely. How you doing, Rach?
I'm fine, love.
Fine. That's fine. A four-letter word.
Oh, it's so pretty woman. Fine. What does fine mean?
I said just something this morning to hubby about, you know, nothing. I made a face and he's like, what? And I went, nothing. And he went, nothing is never nothing.
Fine contains multitudes.
Exactly. Oh my goodness. It's been a busy couple of weeks.
I agree.
Yeah. Mm. And we did a thing last night.
We did a thing. It was girl.
So yeah, we did. It was so much fun. We went out at night.
We went out at night with people laughing with drinks.
Not us. Other people had drinks. There was a lot of... So we went to the Dollop live last night. The Dollop Down Under.
Yes.
And the Dollop is a podcast where a couple of comedians from the US do... one of them does a heap of research with some people about history and a particular event in history. And then the other one has... no idea what's happening and hears it all for the first time as his comedian friend is reading it and kind of reacts in a natural human way, which is hilarious. Mm-hmm. And yeah, they had a lot of beer on stage and they're also very late. The poor loves, much like Crab and Sales did one time for one of their live shows, you know, came late because of plane delays and things like that. So yeah, they're a bit overwhelmed by that, I think.
It'd be so stressful.
Yeah. Planes are stressful.
I know. I hate that idea of like doing a show, popping on a plane,
I know. But they were funny.
That was really funny.
So they were talking about the bush ranger Frank Gardner.
Oh, you remember?
I did. From 1829.
1829!
If you haven't, you should listen to the Dollop.
Yes, by the way. Many Dollop in jokes.
Yes. But if you're like me and you are a fast talker and therefore probably a fast listener, you can play it at 1.5 times speed because they talk slow. I've got things to do, man.
Yeah.
I've only got so much time to hang out the washing, listening to a podcast.
Yeah. The Dollop is one of those podcasts where I'll listen, you know, on the bus doing groceries, whatever, and just be like...
embarrassing.
In the bread aisle. So funny.
And you just do that big...
I know. Out of nowhere.
Looking at you.
It's the best.
It is the best. Yeah. So, yes. I highly recommend Girls and Transportation. I think it's a back episode.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know that one.
It was one of the ones that I honestly was crying. Yeah. I was laughing that much. Yeah. So, yeah. Get into that if you're into podcasting.
Get into it.
If you're listening to us, you may be.
Mm-hmm. Mm. It's very good.
Yeah.
Very, very good.
Today... Mm-hmm. We were going to talk about Big Magic by Elizabeth Gilbert, and you were so organized and fab and put on a couple of sort of links to podcasts.
Cheats.
On the Facebook page, which was very useful because I read it ages ago and have not read it recently. So. Do you listen to both?
No.
No.
Just the Mia Friedman interview.
Yep.
No filter one.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it's that half an hour of your life.
Yeah.
Yeah. And really... lovely.
Yeah.
Like, good, nice little summary.
Yeah.
And I think that Elizabeth Gilbert goes a little bit beyond what she discusses in the book.
Mm.
And there's a little section on, you know, big magic lives when you're a parent.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, I like that in the podcast talking with Mia Friedman about that. Because, Liz Gilbert doesn't have any kids of her own, but she was talking about being a parent and still having a creative life and, you know, all that sort of stuff, which was, I mean, look at us. We're doing it, Rach.
We're doing the things.
We're doing the things.
So my creative magic, of course, is making my little Canva.
I love your little Canva things.
Pictures. Can't stop myself.
It's brilliant. If anyone hasn't checked out canva.com, it's a little graphic design.
Mm.
You can make pics and graphics and all sorts of stuff there, which is really fun.
Yeah.
And I like to play with it, but I don't have the eye that you have.
Mm.
So I love when you do your little things. It makes me happy.
I do have eye, hopefully.
Yes.
I do have eye.
Exactly.
Yeah. My like alternative career, if I wasn't a psychologist, slash maybe I can still do it as a psychologist, I would love to do interior decorating.
Ooh. That sounds good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't, so I'm not so great, you know, in the Christopher Robin episode, we were talking about, you know, the painting and the making and the stuff.
But the putting together.
I can assemble.
Yes.
Mm. And I can look at something and go, not quite right. Move it to the side.
Yeah, no, not so much for me. That is not my thing. My creativity does not extend to that. But I love that about this book, right? So Big Magic is all about... So Liz Gilbert thinks there is a magic to creativity and that can come out in any way that you choose it to come out. Obviously, she is a writer and writing is her creative pursuit.
Yeah.
But she talks about it in a way that I really love that is, you know, you don't have to do this stuff for money in order for it to be a fulfilling creative pursuit. I mean, look at us right now. Like, this seriously fills my creative cup so much. I love having a chat to you every week. I love editing and putting the podcast stuff together and feeling creative in that way. It really makes me happy. So,
and I'm glad you love the editing part too, Nicole.
And I'm glad you love making the little pictures.
We've found a nice little marriage.
Absolutely. Exactly. But it doesn't have to be a particular thing that gets you cash. And also, if you want it to be the thing that gets you cash, I love that she talks about how, you know, you don't have to throw your job in in order to do this. You snatch pieces of time here and there and build from small rather than kind of I have to be a tortured artist and starving.
In fact, I think that she wrote, say, a blog piece. It's not in the book. I think it was extending upon that idea. And again, this is years ago that I saw it. Perhaps I'll dig through the web and find it and post on our Facebook page.
Nice.
Because the blog post was specifically about the difference between, I'm going to mess this up a little bit, but having a job, which brings you money, a career, which is like the long spans of time.
Expanse or span. Whatever you like, really.
Whatever that word is.
See, we've been creative with language.
You get the gist. So your career could be a series of jobs that kind of amount to a grand total. It could be the one job that you keep kind of, you know, tilling away at, and that is, you know. And then a hobby and a vocation. This is where I get a little bit kind of difference between hobby, vocation, that kind of thing. But, you know, the idea of making the job, which brings you in the money, also being the hobby or the vocation, the fun thing that kind of fills your cup, can be incredibly fraught, in her opinion.
Yeah. Well, there's that thing where there's I understand that whole there's too much of a good thing kind of stuff as well. And if it becomes your job, then it becomes less... free.
Yeah.
Perhaps.
Well, it's a little bit like the job of being a parent, I think, as well. Because that feeling of, like, when you're the stay-at-home parent all day, every day.
Yeah.
Or even just for one day, and you're sitting there going, okay, it's 6 a.m., the child's woken up, there is an entire day ahead of us.
Yeah.
Like, some days when that was my day, I would have the mentality of, I'm going to approach it like a job.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to put the pressure on myself of kind of, let's go to the park and I've got to enjoy that and it's got to be amazing and then we'll do Lego and I'll be like, hey, this is like awesome and so much fun. Like, sometimes the job of parenting is fun and that's a bonus.
Yeah.
But some days I would just wake up and be kind of like, okay, the shift starts now.
Yeah.
Yep. Will I ever get a toilet break? Probably not.
And if you do, it won't be alone.
I know. And how wonderful when the kids are in that napping stage and how awful when it goes away. Because I remember being like, okay, how long until nap? And then I'm likely to go do the toilet on my own, have a cup of tea, read something, have some me time.
Yep.
And I remember, like, the time of the day when my husband would be coming home and I'd be kind of like, clock off time.
Yes.
He would often be coming in the door kind of like, I'm not liking this, pass the baton immediately over to me because I've just had a big day and suddenly I'm like, on shift, to which I'd say, that's called the second shift, love.
Yes, exactly. That's right. Chop, chop.
But, like, mentally in my head, I sometimes had to kind of portion it out, you know? Some things, sometimes it's going to be fun.
Any other day. In your job. Yeah. I used to love, so the Bigs would come home from school and that would be just brilliant because, you know, obviously when someone's coming home from work, it's a bit later, but school finishes earlier and then there's new people for a small human to look at and interact with. And that was brilliant.
Yeah.
Not by design, but loved that whole gap between the Bigs and the Smalls.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah.
But, I mean, creativity doesn't have to be hard. Mm-hmm. I love that. I mean, I listened to both of the podcasts, right? Mm-hmm. So Mia's was very much a fangirl interview.
Totally.
Which is what she tends to do. And then she talks out of school afterwards, I find, which is one of my criticisms. Oh. See, there it is.
Oh.
That's what it is.
Ah.
That's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a real fangirl interview, which was lovely to hear how much she enjoyed Liz Gilbert and how much she enjoyed this book.
Yeah.
The other one was a real critical kind of view of the book and a reason why I don't like going to book clubs so much because, you know, sometimes you just dive into a book and enjoy it and don't want to have to analyze it that deeply. And they've kind of picked apart bits of the book and I kind of didn't feel the same way about it, I guess. I just enjoyed it for what it was. And from a perspective of someone who clearly has privilege and, you know, who clearly has pursued an entire lifetime now of you know, in recent years of creativity and magic, you know. She kind of sees those things and looks for them now. And so in the book review kind of podcast, it was much more critical of the idea of the magic.
And
she talks about in the book about a transfer of an idea when she met someone and, you know, kissed this person hello kind of thing and gave him a big hug, and how an idea that she had for a book that was very specific then became that person's idea for a book that was very specific.
Yeah.
And, you know, that other person finished that book. And so she talks about how the magic of an idea and an idea can be in the ether waiting to be born. And so if you, as the creative person, don't fulfill its potential, it'll find someone else to host it.
Yes, yes. And
I liked that.
I think it's a lovely concept. Yeah. I think you're exactly right because I fall into the fangirl of Elizabeth Gilbert category as well.
Well, see, this is the only book I've read of hers.
Ah.
Yeah. I've never done Eat, Pray, Love. I haven't even watched it as a movie.
Look, I really liked Eat, Pray, Love.
Yeah.
And I read it at a time when I was travelling.
Oh, wow. So, okay.
You know, when you have this...
It was your companion piece.
You have this synergy with people and you're like, oh, yes, our lives. I mean, I hadn't just left my husband. In fact, I was travelling with my husband.
Yeah.
But I read it when we were, you know, travelling around Europe. I think we're actually in Tunisia. Very exotic. So I read it at that time when it was like, yeah, that restlessness and going and having an adventure and all of that kind of thing. And then I also read... it's not quite a sequel, but it's in some ways a follow-up to Eat, Pray, Love,
right,
called Committed.
Oh, that's because in Eat, Pray, Love, she finds the person.
Yes.
And then in Committed, she decides to get married to the person and how
that's all... right.
Right.
And, you know, so this is her Javier Bardem. Now, you've not seen the movie.
No. I know what Javier Bardem looks like.
And I'm sure her husband didn't look exactly like that, but in my head, it's Javier. This is gorgeous. I actually quite like the movie as well. It's not exactly the same as the book.
Never is.
But, and quick story.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. So, Ben and I were in Rome when they had the film release.
Yes, bragger.
For Eat, Pray, Love.
Oh, my God. So, you saw it in Rome.
I saw, like, from a distance, Julia Roberts' head.
Oh.
Yeah.
Like the premiere.
The
not just its opening weekend.
The premiere.
Talking.
Yeah. So I was in the crowd like, there's Julia. Didn't really see her, but saw the crowd.
Yeah.
I
She's
know.
Tall enough that you could see her head.
I know. I'd forgotten. Anyway, so see.
That's so exciting.
Me and Elizabeth Gilbert, like, we're just meant to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Clearly.
So Committed is a lot about unpicking her ideas about marriage.
Yeah.
And how conflicted she feels about marriage and all this kind of stuff. And I read that when my husband and I went away for our anniversary.
Wow.
This was actually the anniversary when we conceived the little guy.
Yeah. So I'm smart, like, I'm, yeah.
It was that same anniversary.
So you were committed.
You know, just, I like the way that, you know, the sort of fairy, the strange beliefs, all that kind of stuff. Like, yeah. I like that stuff, but I can see why people would be put off by it.
Yes.
But agreed. I think I also take it to be kind of metaphoric in a way as well.
Yeah.
You know, because, like, it's very indulgent, eat, pray, love, the idea of, like, I'm in a happy marriage, so I'm just going to, like, travel the world for a year and, you know, like, yeah. Drink espresso and then, you know,
yeah. Like, make pasta and eat wine.
Exactly. Wine. Yeah. Yeah. Eat, pray, and love. Yeah. You know, but she goes to, like, the Hindu retreat in India. That's yeah. where all of that is based. So that's yeah. all this, like, spiritual awakening type yeah. stuff. It's very, you know, like, modern, very privileged, first very, world, white, yes. you know, kind of story. Like, I get that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I also like that idea of, you know, I sort of like that idea of constructing ideas or metaphors or, you know, the fairies or the yeah. magic or whatever, as a way of trying to describe a really ephemeral concept that you can't actually pin down.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like a something.
Yeah.
Like, what is creativity? What are ideas?
Yeah.
You know?
And that's why I love that idea that she has around that creative ideas are just kind of hanging mm-hmm. and waiting for a host. I think that's lovely. I really think it's lovely. So I like the idea that creativity can be small and just for you and that it's not, it doesn't have to be this big thing that you sell or, you know, mm-hmm. went to IKEA of all places that my sister and I love to do. And they had a macrame workshop and we did this 1 hour macrame workshop that was really dinky and it wasn't even with yarn. Like they had obviously had leftover material that they made this poor woman cut up into tiny little strips. Oh. So we made these plant hanger things mm. out of material in macrame knots. Like she just taught us some really basic, yeah, basic yeah. stuff. But it looked pretty with a plant hanging in it.
Totally.
And it was really fun yeah. to just kind of, you know, like yeah. knot some stuff and do some things.
Yeah.
And so, of course, now Kylie's like obsessed with macrame and loves it and mm-hmm. has bought so much stuff from Spotlight. She's become like the Spotlight queen. Mm-hmm. All these yarns and she finds sticks because she's doing like wool hangings and...
Oh, gorgeous.
Yeah, and Pinterest with these beautiful, like, they make gorgeous like patterns out of these yeah. knots as yeah, well yeah, like I've yeah. never been into it
yeah yeah yeah
and now
I've
that
them.
She's now yeah. that she's doing it and she's like sending me pictures I want to do this and it's like yes. butterflies and love hearts and you're doing all that out of knots it's quite amazing really
gorgeous and yeah. they're expensive because I've looked to buy some the of wall those hangings. As well
yeah. yeah they are
yeah
so yeah she's totally making it happen
wow
yeah
cool
and she does things like restore furniture and mm-hmm. she's doing all these sort of little creative projects
little
that just
little.
Yeah that yeah. just fill her up
yeah
in a creative way
yeah
you know which I love like she's not outselling them or whatever
yeah.
yet
yeah.
maybe
yeah.
that will become a thing she'll yeah. go to markets but yeah. it doesn't have to be that
yeah yeah
sometimes
yeah.
it can just be for you yeah. like so my 40th birthday, as uh-huh. you know, this mm-hmm. story, deja vu, I didn't know what to do for my birthday. I don't like being the center of attention for like parties and it's mm-hmm. all about you. Mm-hmm. No, that's not my thing, mm-hmm. which sounds strange considering we have a podcast that we put out in the world. I don't like being all about me, but I've always wanted to, since I was younger, have recordings of me singing. Like I wanted to record myself singing
mm-hmm.
and so Paul was like looking all over the place. He even found this place where you could record with a band, like you could get a band, like session yeah. musicians to come in and play the song and this guy was like it'll be 2 days to lay down the tracks from the band and Paul's like I don't think that's kind of that's a little excessive so ended up going to this guy's place who had a recording studio like in the bottom of his house mm-hmm. and he was so kind mm-hmm. Like, he obviously works with people who want to do that kind of thing just
yeah.
for fun,
yeah.
just for a creative outlet,
yeah. Yeah.
and people starting out with their music and things like that.
Yeah.
And he was so lovely. And so, yeah, I went in and I recorded a couple of songs, and it was just so fun.
Amazing.
And you get the headphones on, and yeah. you're like, yeah. you know, you get the microphones with the yeah. pop filters yeah. and all yeah. of the stuff. And he's
did
like,
did you have
oh.
all the hip swagger as well?
You've met me. I do not have swagger. But it was just really fun, you know, like, because you obviously you see people do that kind of thing with mm. the filters in front of the mics.
Yeah,
and,
yeah,
and it,
yeah.
You know, even things like I did two different kinds of songs. So I did like a Smashing Pumpkins song and then mm-hmm. I did a Kelly Clarkson song. Uh-huh. So they're obviously two different kind of
yeah.
genres.
Yeah.
And so one microphone was like a it picked up kind of gravelly tones or whatever for the mm-hmm. Smashing Pumpkins song. It was really interesting. Really interesting.
I see.
But for me.
Yes.
You know, not for putting out in the world everywhere. Just for me because I wanted to.
And how do you feel about the fact that people in the world want to listen to it, aka, aka me?
I will close my eyes and go to another room and press play and run.
Well, that's how I feel about listening to the podcast.
Which is really funny because I don't about the podcast. I know. Isn't that weird?
It's so odd. Weird. Yeah. Yeah. It's really weird, the things that make you nervous and the things that you're totally kind of fine with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But creativity in that way, just for you, for fun, for play, for... I mean, we talked about play a couple of episodes ago, and it's really lovely to do, because you like to crochet, don't you?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so, I do.
And so, when do you snatch time for it?
Oh, well, that's actually really perfect, because it's one of these sit-down watching TV things.
Yes.
Yeah. And the added bonus is that it keeps me awake while I'm watching the TV.
Oh, so like I want to get through this show.
Yeah.
So if I have to crochet while I do it, my hands are busy.
Yeah. Yeah.
It would probably be really good for people who were like trying to get over smoking as well.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something to just kind of keep you busy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what do you like scarves or blankets? What do you do?
At the moment, well, I told you the other day when we recorded the Christopher Robin one and you said, didn't know that about you. And
yes.
I said, there's a, there's going to be a dishcloth coming your way. They're actually incredibly handy.
Yeah.
And really easy.
Yeah.
But it's like a washable, kind of eco-friendly, reusable dishcloth.
Beautiful.
And I do it with like ridges so that it kind of creates a little bit of friction when you're kind of doing the dishes.
Fab.
I will get you some for Christmas.
And so we need to see this. We need to take pictures.
I'll work on this next. But I have been doing a series of blankets for the kids.
Yeah.
And so it kind of has that element of that idea of I'm giving and creating and investing something that's special for them that hopefully they'll like and keep forever.
Yeah.
So I did baby blankies when they were first born.
Aww.
And then they're a little bit little for them now.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
So then I'm doing kind of like bigger ones that take up the whole blanket and yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, and they've got little different colour schemes for all three of them.
Nice.
Yeah, I'll take photos and I'll post them for you. Yeah.
We want to see.
Yeah, my oldest boy is kind of like a blue and green theme.
Yeah.
And then my oldest girl is pink and purple type theme. And then with my other little boy, I was like, what else is boy colours? So he's got a black, white and grey theme.
Ooh, nice. I like it. Yeah, yeah, we want to see these. We definitely want to see these.
Yeah, yeah.
And I did, there's another thing I did ages ago because I love glass. So years and years ago, I went to a slumping and fusing glass class.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. It was really fun.
Wow.
Yeah. I made a plate with Nemo on it. So you have to cut glass and you have to position it and then you fire it together and so it fuses and then there's other things that you can do to sort of slump it and make it different textures kind of within the glass.
Yeah.
And that was really fun.
Mm, mm.
I mean, I'm not going to get $1,000 kiln at my house.
Yeah.
I
think in many ways what we're talking about as well is just kind of doing something, making and tinkering that isn't really supposed to be good or, you know, like have any purpose really necessarily.
Yeah.
You know, I think there's...
I love that word tinker.
Tinker.
I really love it. And I love that Tinkerbell, like as a fairy, is the tinker.
Yeah.
I know. That.
Yeah.
She's an engineer.
It is funny because I think that, you know, when I see adult clients who are feeling a bit depressed and or just kind of, you know, there's sort of often that sense of like I've lost my sense of self, myself.
Yes.
And just asking the simple question like, well, what do you do that is just fun, just for you? And, you know, and I think that for a lot of people there is that tinkering thing. Well, you know, I really liked model trains when I was a kid or something like this. And I had like these big extreme sets and it's kind of like, you know, what did you like about doing that? Just the parts and the pieces and how it all goes together.
Yeah.
And there's so many different things that you can expand upon that you can do.
Yeah.
Like I sort of like little, you know, girly kind of crafty sort of things. That's my niche. But people love working on cars.
Yes.
Gardening.
I mean, I admire those people who like gardening, who find gardening a creative pursuit.
Really... I find it dirty and hot.
but I do appreciate a beautiful garden.
Oh, for sure.
Right? Yeah. And that's the other thing. Your creativity and someone else's creativity do not have to be the same.
Yeah.
You know, just because like I like to write things, you know, and I've always had this idea, one day I'm going to write a book. Mm-hmm. I don't have an idea for a book specifically, but I notice things and I will write them down. Like I keep a pad of paper with me, or I write notes in my phone. Mm-hmm. Just for me, because I like to make observations and write them down.
It's kind of like journaling, you know. There's no point in keeping a journal. Yeah. It's not, you're not going to sit there 10 years later and be like, I'm going to use this as a reference point.
Yeah.
Maybe some people might.
Brett Kavanaugh.
Keep
sorry.
That's exactly what I was thinking too. Like the Brett Kavanaugh, you know, how can we escape this? Because it's so like in the news at the moment.
Yes.
But, you know, I saw that footage of him talking about like, everyone in my family keeps diaries and my dad keeps diaries. And I watched John Oliver.
Yeah.
Do you watch that?
I love John Oliver.
I
so
love
much.
John Oliver. And so... Of course, John Oliver was showing him kind of like breaking down, crying like over these diaries. Like, here's my diary from 1982 and everyone in my family keeps diaries. And
my daddy was a diarist. My papa was a diarist.
We'd sit around at Christmas and look at our diaries. And John Oliver was like, I'm sorry, but beyond everything else, like, you just don't look as credible a witness. Like... Dr. Blasey Ford is sitting there very composed talking about the difficult things that happened to you and you're like crying like a baby over a diary.
Quite hilarious.
Just it, that alone doesn't make you doesn't kind qualify. Of competent for the Supreme Court.
My mum keeps diaries every year, has the same, you know, same kind of diary and she's kept them all because she likes to go refer back.
Yeah.
So mum's thing is all about fairness and equality, right? So when it comes to birthday presents, if she spent X dollars on a 16th birthday present for one grandchild, it'll be in the diary. And so when the next grandchild turns 16, she'll be able to spend equivalent and make sure that it's the same.
Wow.
Right? Her, it's very important to my mum to make sure that they're all treated equally and fairly and that kind of thing, which is gorgeous. So she has these diaries to be able to refer back to.
Yeah, wow.
I wing it.
That's not me. She needs a spreadsheet. That is not me.
If my mum was someone who liked computers, I think spreadsheets would make her very happy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But that's a kind of creative pursuit to write those things down, you know, to do it in that way.
Yeah.
And, you know, gardening is creative and, you know, making your hair pretty is creative.
Totally.
I love the way, you know, Big One loves to do Small One's hair.
Yeah. Oh, that's gorgeous.
And just play with it. It's just lovely. Yeah. It's a lovely idea.
Yeah. I think there is something kind of innate. There's like this evolutionary biology kind of idea that it across kind of, you know, tribal communities everywhere in the world, et cetera, et cetera. You know, music, play, dance and making things is something that we've always done.
Yeah.
And I think that's why there's something that kind of like just fills our soul. It's just kind of in the depth of your bones, makes you feel good.
Yeah.
To be kind of like producing and making things.
Yeah. Because it also tells the story of your family and your place in the world.
Yeah, which reminds me actually, because
you're hesitating.
No, I'm getting teary.
Oh, honey.
I know. Because the fact that I make blankets reminds me of my mum.
Yes.
And my mum learned to make blankets from her mum.
Oh, that is beautiful.
And, you know, that's something that my nan always did.
Yeah.
And these are things that have been passed down. And that's part of why that's something that I like to do as well. Because I love the idea of something that's going to live beyond me through my kids.
Yeah.
Excuse
that's
me.
That's beautiful. See, our thing was cakes. So birthday cakes were a big deal when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. My mum was always the go-to birthday cake person.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you'd get the Woman's Weekly book out.
Yeah.
And you'd find the cake that you wanted. Yeah. And mum would magically make that happen because, you know, she's brilliant.
Yeah.
And people would ask her to do cakes for their kids and things like that.
Yeah.
Not as a job, but just as a, you know, mum's very creative in that way.
Yeah.
And so making cakes for my kids for their birthdays was something that I felt really strongly about.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And then they decide, you know, at 13 that they want a giant Baskin and Robbins, you know, no, Mrs. Fields cookie, a giant Mrs. Fields cookie.
So who's this Mrs. Fields? She doesn't love you like I could.
and I'm crushed. But you know, like making cakes, because they were made, we were made to feel so special by being able to choose our own, and and that was a thing.
Yeah,
you're right. It's it's a beautiful familial kind of passing down these creative pursuits
I
well.
Agree. It's, and it's love and it's connection.
Yes.
I'm going to get very, you know, back into the kind of woo-woo now.
Good. love this.
You know,
I
kind
so
of, because again, Elizabeth Gilbert talks about that idea of how to make space in the world, being a woman and being a mother, and that idea of martyrdom being not having anything for yourself, that it all has to be work in, you know, devotion of the children, in service of the children.
Yeah.
Because that birthday cake thing, the way to approach it is, I know that there's a lot of people who drive themselves nuts trying to create the perfect cake because it's a work that I do in service of my child.
Yeah.
To which I kind of get a bit like, if it doesn't bring you joy to make a cake for the child, buy a freaking cake.
Exactly.
If the kid doesn't care who made it, who cares who made it?
Yeah.
If the kid turns to you and says, Mummy, I really want you to make this for me, then make it for them, but do the best that you can and don't drive yourself nuts, because kids often look at something that you made that we think is shit and go,
and they
that's
love
amazing.
It. Yeah.
You know, so, and I don't know, living your life doing the stuff that you want to do that fills your cup only makes you a better human being.
Yes, this is absolutely true.
And
this podcast makes me a better human being.
I totally agree. Because doing this and having these chats has also made me a better, I don't know, what, we're doing writing?
We are.
Yeah.
I love that.
And I'm finding that, like, more fluid
to
do.
Yeah.
And also making my little Canva memes and stuff.
I love this so
comes
much.
More easily because we have these conversations.
Yeah.
And it's really generative. My only problem is I'm too excited. I have two of the things, too many of the things that I want to make, and I have to go, calm down.
Well, that's the other thing. You can't, you know, you've also got your life. And that's, so when Elizabeth Gilbert was talking about that, about parents and snatching time and things like that.
Yeah.
I remember listening to, Lisa Ellis and Annabelle Crabb talking about this, how Crabb was writing a book.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, they had 20 minutes between one thing and the other thing, and she just sat down and smashed out some words on her laptop.
Yeah.
Because that's the time she had.
Yeah.
Mm. You don't always get 3 months to just sit
about. Well, you know, and this is why they say that working parents make the most productive employees.
Hell yes.
Because you go, this is the time. This is the me time.
Yeah.
I've got to do it.
I've got to smash it out.
Because, you know, I think in the podcast with Mia, she starts by talking about curiosity and fear.
Oh,
and that being curious is a creative pursuit, and it's generative, and it's kind of saying, what might this be? What could this be? What would happen if I kind of went this way? And again, like, curiosity is a psychological state of being, is really connected with well-being.
Right.
Right? Because people who are caught in depressed or anxious mindsets become not curious. They become definitive. This thing is going to go badly. This thing does suck. You know, it's very black and white, and like locks you in to a mindset that says this is what is.
Oh, wow.
So sometimes what we do in therapy is try to like just inject curiosity.
Right.
I wonder if this thing is always true all of the time.
How
Let's
amazing.
Explore whether there may actually be, you know, some other way to look at this, or if I were a different person, if I were here, if I were there. It's kind of, it's looking around the problem with different lenses and being curious.
That is brilliant.
So if you can,
I'm sitting here like mouth open going, that's brilliant.
So I think, you know, if you can remain curious as a human being, it's probably a really good safeguard against slipping into those kinds of mindsets.
So curiosity doesn't kill cats. It makes you feel better.
Well, cats have 9 lives, so they can be as curious.
But I love that. Want. Well, curiosity means you are open to the world, doesn't
it? Yeah, it does.
So that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah,
I love that,
and
so
it's dynamic
much.
And it's fluid.
Yeah,
you know? Whereas but fear is just kind of like a gripping
paralysis.
Virus. Just, yeah, exactly. The paralysis.
And I love that when she talks about that, because that's it. Because the tagline "Creative Living Beyond Fear" is the tagline of the book, and that's something that we talk about in our family a lot, because we do push ourselves often to try new things or to do things that might be scary.
Yeah,
and our thing is always, you know, fear is very useful. Let's not kid ourselves, yeah. You know, it stops you from running out in the middle of the road. It yes. makes you look first.
And using all your nine lives.
Exactly. So fear in that base human level kind of survival thing is very useful. Mm. But there comes a point where it is holding you back.
Mm.
And so you have to go, is this a real fear mm. that I will get hurt? Mm. Or is this a fear that, mm. you know, I might feel embarrassed, or I might, you know, and yeah. and our thing in our family is always feel the fear, feel it,
mm-hmm.
but do it anyway.
Yeah.
Push through it. Say, yeah. I hear you, I get you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because that's what she talks about in this yeah. book. And yeah. so I feel a little
sit
smug.
With the fear. yeah. Yeah.
Sit with the fear because yeah. it's trying to tell you
yeah.
to stop.
Yes.
And you have to go, is it telling me to stop because it thinks I'm going to, you know, drown, get hit by a bus yeah. or whatever?
Yeah. Yeah.
Or is it telling me to stop because it thinks that yeah. someone might say that was a bit rubbish?
Yeah, because that idea in our heads of social death
yes.
is so primitive in yes. us as well. It's linked yeah. to this idea that we're going to be kicked out of the tribe.
Right, yeah, right? That makes sense.
Because if you're the dead shit that no one likes in the tribe, you actually are dead.
Yeah. You're and the village idiot or whatever. Then,
exactly. Mm. So I head like we're primed to be like, don't stuff up, don't stuff up.
Yep.
Don't, you know, put yourself out there. Oh, you get attention. It might be the bad type of attention. You yep. might attract trolls.
Yep.
You know, I think that when it comes to this podcast.
I don't think we've hit critical mass enough.
No, we're nice and safe.
We still have people who love us who are listening
we're
to
we're in
it.
The friend bubble.
We are, and I love that. I love our friend bubbles. But so I think feeling the fear is fine.
Mm-hmm.
It's absolutely fine. But I think being curious about it is even better.
Yes.
I love that. I'm putting these things together now. You're making me think so much, Rach. I love it. I just love it so much. Let's put a challenge out to our listeners.
Uh-huh.
What are you afraid of trying?
Yes.
That you maybe might give a crack?
Uh-huh.
And we will all rally and give you a big round of applause. So,
for sure.
Yeah, because we want to encourage everybody to be their best selves, and being creative in whatever way that fills up your cup
mm-hmm.
is something worth doing.
That's it.
Carving out some time for that is good.
Do the thing just for you.
Do the thing. So on that note, I think you should probably like our Facebook page.
Indeed.
Pop the kettle on.
Mm-hmm.
You should definitely subscribe to the podcast if you haven't, and yes, share it with your friends.
Yes,
there's a little button. You just have to share. It's very easy, and we would love to.
And I had to note down to tell people mm-hmm. that we are blogging fortnightly
yes,
as well.
We are. Mm-hmm. It's your turn.
My turn. So each of us are taking turns to write a little something that just kind of expands upon the conversation that we had in the podcast.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Something to think about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and by the way, ooh. So we are going to have loose topic every episode that we have.
Yes.
I feel like we've been a little bit kind of like mystical and kind of Oprah the last few weeks, which is fine. There's nothing wrong with that.
No.
But we're going to take a bit of a kind of veer in a different direction.
Mm.
So my topic suggestion for you
yep.
is, well, it's in the wheelhouse, basically. It's the psychologist's best friend.
Right.
It is the Pixar movie Inside Out.
Brilliant stuff. That is such a clever film.
I know.
I mean, Pixar do clever things.
Yeah.
So Inside Out, you can all watch along with us and then we can talk about it
yeah.
next time.
I'm not sure. It was on Netflix for a little while.
It
but
might
you know
be.
How they cycle
yeah,
through.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll find yeah. it. I'll post it on the Facebook so people can find it, watch
beautiful.
It.
Yeah.
And then we can geek out about Inside Out.
That sounds brilliant.
Next time.
And in the meantime,
hug your babies.
Hug your babies. Hug each other.
Be kind to yourself.
And be kind to the world. And we will talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Thanks, Dick.
Bye.